It'll make it a lot easier. So how come they sold you?
I don't know. That was a clip from the radio documentary May May a Daughter Song. You can see the film adaptation, 30-minute film adaptation, this Saturday, September 26th at the Clinton Street Theater. More info at independentfilmfest.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear the show again at stageandstudio.org and also like me on facebook.com/stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Buffalo herd, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, but you can be happy if you've mind to.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, hosted Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at Bison Coffee House in Portland. The event will feature stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and information about the ongoing struggle to protect them. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd.
The music playing is Innocella Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. I'm Andre Middleton. This is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'll be hosting Art Focus on Tuesday mornings, 11:30 to noon, on a bi-weekly basis, alternating with Joseph Gallivan. Thank you for joining us. Today my guest is photographer Larry Swick. But first up, local art news. The Multnomah County Cultural Coalition has a grant deadline coming up. The coalition's mission is to foster a community that is opportunity-rich in cultural offerings, increasing the likelihood of cultural participation amongst the broadest possible spectrum of county-based cultural events, programs, and organizations. The Community Cultural Participating, or CCP, grant program supports community-based cultural events, programs, and organizations. The Community Cultural Participation Grants can be used for a specific cultural event, program, or activity as long as it is open to the public. Any non-for-profit organization will be eligible to apply for a CCP grant up to $2,000. However, IRS 501c3 status is not required. Applications must clearly demonstrate how the funds will help the proposed cultural event, program, or activity to become more accessible and or affordable to Multnomah County residents, or encourage new cultural activities and organizations. Grant applications for the 2016 calendar year will be available now through the deadline on Monday, October 19th at 5 p.m. Grants for the 2016 calendar year must support activities that take place between January 1st and December 31st of 2016. Find out more info at www.multculturalcoalition.org. Are you an artist or a resident in Clackamas County? The Clackamas County Arts Alliance has a grant program just for you. The deadline to apply for the 2016 project year is October 9th at 5 p.m. For more details and eligibility, please visit www.clackamasartsalliance.org/grants/project-grants. Would you or an artist you know like to exhibit work in Creative Spirits located at Westland Lutheran Church? The Arts Committee would like to know of your interest as they plan shows for the 2016-2017 season. They believe in building, they believe our building is a community space to be shared and utilized. As a church, they are determined to support emerging and well-established artists to give their work exposure. Our gallery, Creative Spirits, is in truth a perfect gallery space to exhibit and celebrate art. Creative Spirits has a 2-month submission period that started on September 15th and ends on November 15th. For our exhibitions, and accept work in all media, paintings, drawings, printmaking, photography, digital, art, and mixed media. All artwork submitted is reviewed by their curatorial panel and kept on file to be considered for each upcoming exhibition. Creative Spirits does not charge an exhibition fee to artists to show their work, and they select and show artists based on talent. To learn more and possibly submit your artwork, visit www.wlcc.org/creative-spirits. For our listeners in the Hillsboro area, the Thursday Family Art Night occurs every Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. This is a drop-in program for all ages in Studio B of the Walters Cultural Arts Center in downtown Hillsboro at 527 East Main Street. Find out more information at Hillsboro Arts, CI, Hillsboro, or US. Well, today my guest is Larry Quick.
Swick.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me, Andre.
Thank you for joining us. Mr. Swick's photography work has been presented in more than 100 exhibits since 1983 in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Europe, and Asia, and is included in collections of the Portland Art Museum, the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and the Bank of America, the Bibliothèque de Nationale in France. It has been published in 2 books and in the Northwest Magazine, Impulse Magazine, La Fotografía from Spain, People's Photography in Beijing, and online via La Lettre de la Photographie, The Eye of Photography, and the ArtsIllustrated.com blogs. Listeners, please write down the number for our studio. It's 503-231-8187. And if we have time at the end of this interview, we'll open up the line for your questions, so get them ready. Once again, I'm proud to present Mr. Larry Swick. Let's start with your artistic journey, Larry. I personally discovered a Super 8 camera in the basement of my apartment building while I was in college, and I fell in love with the moving image on black and white film. What got you interested in photography and filmmaking?
Well, the photography came first. I had been interested in it since high school, and in fact, my father may have something to do with it because he was in the photography club in the U.S. Army during World War II. So I don't know if it's partly genetics or not, but I started working more seriously on the photographic work after I moved to Portland in 1982, and it's just really blossomed since then. For the filmmaking, it's a little more recent. I started by getting a Super 8 camera back at a now defunct store here in Portland, and I think it was 1986, but I didn't use it until 1988, and I used that until probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and then since then I've been doing high definition videos. But there is a lot to be said for the filmmaking as compared to photography, because you have the motion component and you have the sound component as well.
Sweet. Imagine you started shooting on film when you started your career. Do you still shoot on film?
Well, that's a interesting change over my work. I had always shot in film. And then in 2006, when digital was starting to become popular, I started using a digital camera. In fact, one of the projects I used it on was for some of the images that I have from Greenland, from a visit there. However, I wasn't 100% satisfied with the quality back then in, in 2006. And then a few years later, I was told that the quality had gone up and also the price of the cameras had come way down. So in 2009, I somewhat reluctantly, because I didn't know if it would work, I started doing more digital photography, and I was very, very pleased. So right now, I still do some film photography, but I'd say it's about 95% digital.
Nice, nice, nice. I can recall when I did a lot of still photography. I did a lot of film photography when I was in school, and I really got into the dark room. And for me, the transition to digital was a bit of a challenge because I used to do a lot of superimposition, a lot of composing things actually under the enlarger, and I haven't found an application to really duplicate that experience for me. And yeah,
it's very true. And I will say that one thing that I've been able to experience this more recently was I had back in 2000 or so purchased some glass plate negatives from a flea market somewhere. I believe it was in Corvallis or Albany, somewhere like that. And I printed one at the darkroom, which you developed. Rental Darkrooms was there for many, many years, I think for more than 30 years. And I really loved being able to arrange things differently. So I showed that work to a curator in France, in Paris, and she suggested it might be interesting to get some glass plate negatives from France. And so I did, and I printed some of them just this past December, and I was very, very excited with that. So now this rental darkroom, unfortunately, is closed, so I'm not sure to what extent I'll be doing that, but there is a real joy in being able to create things in the darkroom. So I know exactly where you're coming from, Andre.
Great, great. Well, first of all, let me say thank you for sharing a lot of your work with us and with me in particular. I was able to go online and see a wide variety of your images. I imagine that, or better yet, what I saw, there's a real haunting quality to your work and composition and subject matter. What do you think has been your motivation to travel so far to achieve such qualities?
Well, I like to experience the world, and I also like to be immersed in cultures. And for me, much of my photographic work in my art practice has to do with culture, both being immersed in it and mirroring it through the photographic image. So this most recent project, which I'll be presenting in the show that opens October 5th at Portland Community College, Northview Gallery, that is about the Arctic. Now, most of my projects, they tend to go on for a long time. This project I actually started in 2002, but I just like to really be moved by other cultures, other ways of seeing things, other ways of doing things, and it just expands the horizons of what is possible and the understanding of other cultures.
Great. Before I go too much further, if you visit our show page, Art Focus on KBOO, you can see a couple of links to Larry's work, and I've got a couple of pictures on the site. So if you'd like to check out his work now, please feel free if you happen to be online. Speaking of travels, your work has had you trekking quite a bit from far-flung locations around the world. Yet, your work does not remind me of a travel log. How would you describe the juxtaposition between your love of travel and your love of photography?
Thank you for that comment. I really don't want to be a tourist when I travel. If I'm in another place with another culture, be it Mexico or be it an Arctic village, I like to be immersed in that culture and try to understand it, to just learn about it, to be part of it. And for me, the tourist part of it is really very, very far down the list.
Now, I'm going to follow up a little bit on this is because, so when you're traveling with your camera and with your gear, are you archiving your journeys or are you seeking out images that you need your journeys to take you on?
That's an interesting question. I think from my perspective, I'm just really looking for what is there. I'm not particularly seeking something specific, but there's inevitably something wonderful that I discover. And it happens over and over. And I love it. And that's why I keep going to some of these places. And the Mexico project that I've worked on for 31 years, it's kept me going for 31 years. I mean, that's a very long time. That's most of my life. And it never got boring once.
Cool. So you mentioned that you have an exhibition coming up at the Portland Community College Northview Gallery. It's on the Sylvania campus in Southwest Portland. It's called The Far North, Portraits of the Arctic. What was the catalyst for this particular show?
Well, there is a lot of important things. There are a lot of important things happening in the Arctic. I first visited there in 2002 in northern Alaska, and then in 2006 when I went to Greenland to do a photo essay there, I was talking to some of the people in the far north of Greenland, and some of their subsistence ways of living, their traditional lifestyles, were beginning to change because of accelerated climate change. So I thought, this is an important thing to know. And so then I continued in 2012, 2013 in northern Alaska, and I found the same thing was happening there, thousands and thousands of miles away. So it just really made me very interested to try and see more about what was happening, in addition to capture the beauty. It's a very stark beauty, but it's a beauty nonetheless up there, and how these people have lived there for centuries without having what most Americans would consider very many resources. They live very well.
Great. I can only imagine the sheer number of photographs that you take for a show like that. How would you describe your selection process?
It's difficult. It's very difficult. I had hundreds and hundreds of images that I needed to go through to select the 25 that will be in the show at the Northview Gallery of the Portland Community College starting October 5th. And I would really like to show more, but the reality is I had to make selections to fit the budget and to fit the space. And so I, in many ways, chose images that I thought were representative of one part of the experience, or one part of the Arctic, or one situation of how they live ingeniously up there. So it made it challenging, but it's good because it's good to be challenged.
So are there themes or, I don't know, sub-threads that you either find in the field or within the selection process itself?
Well, I think overriding theme in my work is there's a lot of interest in the mystery, in the spirit. And I've had some curators in the past that have commented that some of my work seems to have a spiritual influence. And I think that's true. I'm personally not a member of an organized religion, but I'm a very spiritual person. And when I free my mind to think in new ways, when I travel in other cultures, it just really comes out. And sometimes I just get an image that I'm very, very happy about.
Now, you mentioned that you've spent a lot of time in Mexico, and I saw that a series or an upcoming series of your work is, you've entitled it, Walking 1,000 Miles Through Mexico. That's quite a title, and I wasn't quite sure, is that figurative or is that a metaphor?
Well, that's a good question, and it's actually a literal description of the project. I started the project back in 1983, and I have been drawn like a magnet to Mexico for that project, walking many, many miles each day every time I visited it. And I've tried to visit every major city in Mexico since 1983. And it's been an incredible experience. One of the KBOO personalities here, Walt Curtis, who is a wonderful gem and resource in the whole Portland and Oregon and Pacific Northwest area, he's helped me some with some reflections on that, and it's just been very rewarding. I do hope that I may be able to present some of this work next year in Portland and beyond.
So if you don't mind me asking, if you can recall, what was the first step of that journey?
Well, that journey was, I think, partly to get away from the rain in Portland. After I had moved here, it was a real difficult transition to Portland winters and the winter weather. But it evolved into something much more than that. So I've gone down there in the spring, in the fall, in the summer, in addition to in the winter. And it's just magical every single time. The culture there is incredibly vibrant, incredibly colorful, just so diverse and full of, for me, wonder and mystery. André Bertrand, the founder of Surrealism, he said it was the most surrealist place in the world. I believe that. And so did a Mexican artist, Rufino Tamayo, the famous painter. So there's that element to it. But there's magic in every culture, no matter if it's American culture or it's the Arctic cultures in the different parts of the Arctic or Mexico. And I'm just drawn like a magnet to those cultural aspects.
So my follow-up question, what will be the last step of that journey?
Well, I would like to present this in a project in Portland and beyond. And if possible, I would like to have that in a published form that could be enjoyed in the future over the years. And so I'll be working more on that the coming months and coming year. I think it's an incredible project that I've been very fortunate to have experienced. And the Arctic project is just a wonderful experience. And so I would encourage anybody that's able to go to the Arctic exhibit at Northview Gallery. It opens on October 5th and it runs through November 7th. There will be a artist talk that I will be doing there on Thursday, November 5th at 1 p.m. And that will be followed by a reception at 2 to 4 p.m. on the same day, Thursday, November 5th. The show will then travel to the Glenn and Viola Walters Cultural Center at 527 East Main Street in Hillsboro. That opens December 1st, and there will be a opening that day, the first Tuesday, and then that will go through January 15th. And I do want to give a shout-out here to the Regional Arts and Culture Council here in Portland, because they're a wonderful group of people, and I was very fortunate to be able to get a project grant in December that has helped immensely with the project on the Arctic. Thank you, Rack.
So where can our listeners find your work online, I guess? I mean, because technically they can co-find your work on October 5th at the Northview Gallery on the PCC Sylvania campus in Southwest Portland. But if they can't wait till then and they want to see something now, where can they look?
Well, they can go to, I have a website. It's www.larryswick.com, and that's LarryCwik.com. I also have a Facebook artist page as well.
Nice. Well, you know, I'm going to shout out the number again. I think we might have time to take a call or two. Our studio line is 503-231-8187. If you're enjoying this great conversation I'm having with Larry today and you'd like to join in, please give us a call. Once again, the number is 503-231-8187. That's the studio line. So, Larry, so if you can give us a little preview, what's your next journey? Is there a spot in the world that you haven't quite seen yet or absorbed or really immersed yourself in that you've always thought about?
Wow. I haven't thought of that. There's so many wonderful places in the world. One that comes recently to mind is more in our backyard, about some of the Native American cultures here in the Pacific Northwest. I was lucky to go on an Oregon Cultural Heritage Commission field trip this past Saturday out to the Tsleil-Waututh, I believe it's pronounced, She Who Watches. It's a well-known Native American petroglyph out near the Dalles. And there is so much history out there that was fascinating to learn of. There's, of course, the whole Celilo Falls having been inundated by the river and much more. So that may be a future direction. There's, of course, many other places I'd like to visit in the world as well, but I haven't really given it too much thought because this Arctic project has been so all-encompassing, and then the Mexico project's taken a lot of my attention.
Gotcha. So I have another curious question I have in mind. What does your kit look like? I can only imagine the amount of equipment you must have to haul around with you.
Well, I'm actually a big believer in simplicity. So for me, when I'm walking 10, 15 miles a day, for instance, in Mexico, or when I'm up in the Arctic and I have to take off my gloves to take a picture because it's so frigid, even in June or in August, I don't want to have a lot of complicated equipment. So I just have been using a pretty straightforward 35 millimeter camera. Currently, I have a Nikon, and that works for me. I think it's more important for me to be able to have the equipment easily than to have a lot of potential things that I may need.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining us at today's Art Focus. It was a great adventure and discovery for me to look at your work. Like I said, it's haunting, it's serene, and I can definitely see the spiritual side to it, even across a variety of spiritualities. You know, I mean, obviously the ability to commune with nature, obviously the ability to connect with cultures and communities outside of our own, must have just been really not just eye-opening, but I guess spiritual awakening, I guess, might be another way of putting it.
I agree 100%. I've always been highly interested in nature. That's one reason I've stayed in Portland. The nature here, the diversity of the oceans, the mountains, the valleys, the eastern Oregon, high desert, everything is incredible. And it has really infused my persona and my outlook as an artist.
Great, great, great. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today at Art Focus. We've been lucky to have a photographer of Larry's caliber here with us today. Well, that's all for this week's Art Focus.
And thank you very much, Andre, for having me.
Thank you. But before we go, I want to definitely give a big thank you to the engineer, Janet Anderson, and all the KBOO volunteers and staff that make this program possible. Remember that there are several grant deadlines approaching. The Clackamas County Arts Alliance has a grant deadline on October 9th. The Multnomah County Cultural Coalition has a grant deadline on October 19th. Creative Spirits, located at the Westland Lutheran Church, is conducting a call for artists now through November 15th for consideration for exhibition during the 2016-2017 season. As always, you can find photos, links, as well as all the guest info on our show page. That's at kboo.fm/artfocus. Please follow the link to our Facebook page and like the KBOO Art Focus page. If you missed today's show, there will be a podcast of the show online later today. Joseph Gallivan will be your host next week, and I'll be here in 2 weeks on October 6th. When I'll be interviewing Indigenous artist Natalie Ball of the Klamath Falls area about her recent and upcoming exhibitions. It's my goal to meet and introduce listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on our show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to artists as well. When I learn of residencies, grant deadlines and opportunities, call for artists, you'll hear about it here as well as on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus. We're going out with the music of Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thanks again for joining us on Art Focus on KBOO Radio, Portland, Oregon.